This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Diana Neff, who's the CIO of the City of Philadelphia. Welcome back to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thanks, Mark.
What can you tell us that's up to the minute about the unwiring of Philadelphia?
Well, the business plan's been delivered to the mayor and the administration. They're going through the process of, looking through that, looking at what the committee has recommended, and we're waiting now to get a date on the mayor's calendar to do the announcement and talk about how we're going to move forward.
Okay. Can you share with us the recommendations, or is that privy only to the mayor right now and his staff?
It's privy only to the mayor at this time. He has to go through, and actually he will be making the announcement. So we're all in wait.
And do you have any expectations about when that's going to be exactly?
My hope is it's going to be in February. We had hoped to do it this week, and then the Super Bowl occurred, and then we didn't win. But we had festivities planned, and it just upset the schedule. So now I have to find a new date to get back on the mayor's schedule.
You'll be able to spend some of the money that you would have spent on the festivities to roll out the wireless, huh? Say a little bit for our new listeners about what the charge of this committee was and how it proceeded in doing its work.
Sure. The mayor back in August,
2004.
August of 2004. Excuse me?
Yes, 2004.
Uh-huh. Appointed 17 members that were stakeholders, or people from different stakeholder groups throughout the city, including our K-12 education, our universities, all of our small and minority business chambers, our tourism, our economic development groups, to look at, was there a need for a wireless broadband, high-speed, affordable network in the city of Philadelphia, how we would go about approaching that, what were the best business models, what were being used, what type of governance structures, is the project sustainable? And so the committee started its deliberations in September. We did 13 different focus groups, several open mic meetings with the community. Obviously, they identified there was a need and where they would like to focus, what were the type of requirements that they wanted to see, what they wanted to have this system be able to deliver. Then we looked at what it would take to be able to do that. We worked with several of our local universities to help us look at what had been done in other communities across the United States, both in the wireless and wired telecommunications arena.
Now, was your charge to find a broadband solution or to find a wireless broadband solution?
It had been a wireless broadband.
And did you consider other technologies other than wireless?
No.
Okay.
No, the whole focus was wireless. Because of the cost entry point.
Right.
If you use a term that's used in the wireless industry, household pass.
Right.
It's much less expensive for wireless and the infrastructure because you're using city-owned assets. That's why it's a public-private potential partnership here.
Right.
You don't have to dig up your streets. So the infrastructure costs are significantly less. It's like $20 per household pass. For wireless, it's $700 to $1,000 per household pass for DSL cable, and it's $2,000 to $3,000 per household pass for fiber.
So that's at least 50 to 1 ratio.
Yeah, so the cost entry point to be able to have a low-cost system that can help in particularly in Philadelphia, Mayor Street's goals have been neighborhood transformation since he came into office, and this can help reach out to those neighborhoods, particularly our underserved, low-income neighborhoods. They can't afford, other services that may be available today.
Now, it's been more than half a year since you got started. Technology is always evolving. How were you able to focus on a moving target for Wi-Fi, WiMAX, fixed wireless, other technologies that were evolving as you were doing your report? How did you cope with that issue?
Well, we haven't selected the final technology. We've been focusing on what are the requirements and needs, and roaming, mobility, portability, all of those are important requirements, both for the city and for community groups that we met with. So because we haven't selected the final technology, obviously in doing the business plan, we had to focus on one, and we chose to focus on mesh to come up, well, it's a hybrid mesh, WiMAX for our costing purposes.
Right.
But we are also in the process of developing a request for proposal that will take all the information that we've gathered during this last 6 months and take that out to the market to have companies or consortiums of companies come together to propose on building the network. And then we will evaluate the technology solutions that are proposed to determine which one that we will deploy across the city.
So you pretty much decided what your needs were, and you're going to ask bidders to respond to that, and then you'll evaluate what their technology solutions are to deliver those end results.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Do you know much about what the timing will be for that RFP as a consequence of whenever the mayor makes his announcement?
Yeah, it's about 30 days after the mayor has finished going through and making sure that he's comfortable with what the committee's work.
Right.
So we're hoping, it's somewhere between mid-March and the end of March that we have the RFP out.
So it'll be about a month after his announcement that the RFP will go out.
Correct.
And you know about how long that's going to, people will be allowed to respond to it?
We'll keep it fairly short,
right.
Because we do want to get into construction, by the end of summer to take advantage of the good weather.
Right.
And get the network built out. So we'll probably have it out there for a 45-day response.
Okay.
45 to 60 days.
Now, what did you find in general? Was the level of response from the community, and how much participation was there from private industry providing input as well?
Well, we did, as I say, met with the business chambers of Greater Philadelphia, and then all of our minority business chambers. We met with nonprofits. We met with interested specialists, from the university, the academic environment, to talk about this. I personally met with both Verizon and Comcast as telecommunication vendors.
Well, you brought them up. I don't think we can go without talking a little bit about what happened in Harrisburg.
Correct.
From your point of view, what did happen in Harrisburg? Who were the players, and what did they try to do, and how did Philadelphia come out in the end?
Well, there had been a proposal to modify the Pennsylvania Telecommunications Act. It had been dormant for about 18 months, and in the last hours of this previous year's, in 2004 legislation session, it moved out of the House subcommittee, it's known as House Bill 30,
right,
into the Senate without municipal governments being aware.
Right.
We happened to have been fortunate that one of our attorneys actually was watching the broadcast of that,
right,
and heard the bill, notified us. We galvanized it.
And what grassroots. Right. What exactly did the bill specify, and how would it have affected what you were trying to do?
Broadened to include broadband.
Right.
And to prohibit any political subdivision, which means cities, towns, boroughs, or any political entity created by one of those subdivisions,
right,
from providing broadband or telecommunication services. It wasn't specific to just wireless.
Okay. And did it prohibit them if they charged for it, or did it prohibit them if they gave it away, or both?
You could give it away for free.
Right.
But if you charged a fee, you had to first go and ask the local exchange carrier to build it.
And what was your reaction to that?
As a first refusal.
Okay, and what was your reaction to that? Is what? How much of a crimp it would have put in your plans, whatever they are going to turn out to be?
Yeah, well, the purpose of the of our proposal was to do low cost infrastructure in the now time frame.
Right.
The plan calls for 2 months for the local exchange carrier to respond to any request, 14 months to build, plus the potential of a 12-month extension.
Right.
That didn't fit the time frame. It also didn't meet the societal goals that we had set for the program.
Right. And in fact, up to the time that you initiated your program, it was in part because the private sector hadn't really solved some of these problems, wasn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we found out from the surveys that we did. Only 58% of our households today in Philadelphia have access to the Internet. The number one reason cited, 72%, was cost.
And that was specifically what you were addressing in your efforts?
Correct.
Okay. So
and it's very even more skewed when you look at it on a socioeconomic basis. So our well-to-do neighborhoods, you might see 91% of the households having Internet access. In our low-income and underserved neighborhoods,
right.
25%. So it's our program is more than just doing a broadband network. It's to get computers into the home. It's to make sure there's training and education on how to use it. It's working with the nonprofit communities to determine what's best in a neighborhood. So it's much broader than just building a network. If it were just to build a network, we wouldn't have been in this game.
Right. What did you find, and maybe you could share it with listeners who are working on this issue in their own communities, about half of the equation is getting the access and getting it on an affordable basis for people. The other one is providing the devices that connect to it. Did you come up with any, did you find or develop any innovative approaches that would help other communities and or that you're going to use for yourself to solve that part of the problem?
Well, we're working on that.
Right.
I am out now talking with the OEM manufacturers of computers about coming out with a low end affordable device,
right?
The $300 desktop and a $600 laptop,
right?
That people could acquire, and there maybe there's some creative financing,
right?
We also are looking to generate revenues from the infrastructure of charging fees for services,
right?
To generate cash to be able to buy computers to place in people's homes that can't even afford the $300.
Right. How much did you discuss or reach any conclusions about essentially taxing the digitally affluent to subsidize the digitally challenged?
It's not a tax. It's a choice. It's a fee.
Right.
It's like anything else. If you want to have high-speed digital, you're going to pay the rate that's charged.
Right.
We're not using city. I mean, the whole charge from the mayor to begin with
right.
was that we were not to use city dollars.
Right.
And it's not to be subsidized by the government.
Right.
So we've come up with a program, which will be announced when the mayor makes his announcement.
Right. That meets
so
those
you're
requirements.
You're not getting me today.
Right, okay.
To discuss how we're going to do that.
Okay.
And it is a public-private partnership. It is not the government, creating this entity to compete against the private sector.
Right, and because that was one of the fundamental arguments raised by the proponents of House Bill 30, that the taxpayer money would be used to subsidize these operations, and you're saying that's not the case.
The proposal that's been presented does not include tax-exempt bonds.
Right.
It does not use capital or general operating dollars from the government.
Okay. Going back to the historical period of November, December last year, after you more or less accidentally found out what was afoot, how did you organize to respond to that?
Well, because we had done the strong community outreach, we notified the groups that we had been working with. They mounted a grassroots campaign, and over 3,000 individuals and businesses called or wrote the governor's office.
Right, and this the governor, of course, used to be the mayor of Philadelphia.
Correct.
Yeah, so did that figure into this at all?
Well, I think, you know, he is the governor and he has to look out for the welfare of the state.
Right.
There were parts of the House Bill 30 that he was very inclined to support, an e-fund for the schools.
Right.
But he also understood, you know, the needs of what Philadelphia was attempting to do here. You know, he helped us reach out and get a compromise. To be able to allow Wireless Philadelphia, because of the work that we'd already done and the needs that we had established and the interest of the community, to be able to go forward. However, he did sign the bill.
Right.
And it is enacted. There's a grandfather clause in there, so other communities, if they can have something up before January 1, 2006,
right,
can do so.
What was the nature of the compromise for Philadelphia, and how was that arranged exactly?
Well, the city reached out to Verizon. We went back and forth and negotiated a waiver of they waive their rights.
So what rights?
With the signing of the bill.
Right. So what rights does Philadelphia have that it wouldn't have had without that waiver?
We are not. We're free to build this in our own time frame. And with no fear of litigation.
Okay, and the others, all the other jurisdictions in Pennsylvania, what's their status now under that legislation?
And if they can have a system up and running prior to January 1, 2006, they can be grandfathered and exempt from the requirement.
How much of a system do they need to have up? Is that specified in the legislation? Or?
It is, and I have not personally gone back and validated. I've heard that if they have one paying customer, then they're grandfathered, but I have not validated that.
Okay. Is there some association of jurisdictions in Pennsylvania that's working on that now? Do you know?
I have heard of a couple of communities that are looking at it.
Okay. So let's talk about, we've talked a little bit about the internal issues. Part of the movement to more broadband and broadband facilitated by cities is to make the cities competitive relative to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after Mayor Street made his move in Philadelphia, Mayor Hahn here in Los Angeles appointed a comparable commission that had its first public meeting earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about the sort of broadband gap or broadband race that's on, and what it will mean if certain big cities do it? Will all the cities do it? What do you see as talking to your fellow CIOs around the country about where things are going on the national level, and whether the playing field is going to be leveled at a higher level, or what's going to happen exactly?
Well, you know, it's different for virtually every different community.
Right.
You have to reach out and find out what's important in your community, how well you're being served today, are there underserved populations, are you in a position to make this goal, is it aligned with where the administration, whether that's your council or your mayor, you know, your elected bodies. And, you know, all of that homework has to be done first before it gets out. And obviously Mayor Hahn in L.A. and the mayor from San Francisco and Miami, you know, have all said this is important to our community. We need to take a look at it. And they have chartered groups to start doing that. So we think that it is something that has struck a chord. That is important to a number of communities. There are also a number of governments that are doing it because it helps lower the cost of service delivery.
Right.
Within government, that aren't doing the public aspect of it, because that's, you know, not something that they've identified that's what they want to go toward.
Right.
Many communities are looking at it as a backup to their public safety and homeland security.
Right.
So there's different aspects, and each community will take a look at, and it could be a regional community, it could be a county as well as an individual city.
Right.
It could be a metropolitan area. So, it, you know, again, I can't speak for all the different organizations out there, but it certainly has struck an chord. You know, I meet with and talk with the top 10 major cities in the countries and the CIOs. It's always on our conversation list.
And are they essentially looking to Philadelphia now for leadership in this area?
Absolutely.
Would you say?
Absolutely. There's been at least 30-plus different communities that, you know, are watching what we're doing, want to see our business plan, want to see, you know, the research that we've done to be able to share on that. And we certainly will once, you know, the administration has had an opportunity.
So you expect there'll be more of that after the announcement, in fact?
I think that there will be more in-depth look once people have an opportunity to get access to the research that's been done.
Okay. More or less finally here, with your involvement here, what have you learned, or what are your feelings now about the need for more effort at the federal level to do this, to spread more broadband, especially to underserved communities, and to generally upgrade the infrastructure? Do you see enough happening at the federal level, or would you like to see more?
Well, you know, I personally would like to see more bandwidth allocated for the unregulated portions of the spectrum.
Right. Is that something the FCC could do if it wanted to?
Yes.
Okay. Are you somewhat lobbying for that?
I don't lobby.
Right. Okay.
Have I been asked my opinion on it?
Right.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It would be nice if we didn't have individual state, you know, if there was a federal policy about participation.
Right.
And as they, you know, look at the Telecommunications Act of 1996, I'm sure that, you know, this is an area that they'd be looking at, as well as the wired and the wireless arena and what that means. And so I think you'll see national organizations like the National League of Cities, the National Association of Counties, U.S. Conference of Mayors taking positions. And they're always asked as part of the federal rewrite at the national organizations to give input into that. So I think that will happen.
If the Telecommunications Act 1996 is rewritten, what general principles have you learned recently would you like to see enshrined in the new version, just in general terms?
Well, I believe that we still have major monopolies.
Right.
And you know, that we have emerging technologies. There has to be an open playing field. They're going to be looking at a lot of issues, taxation on the internet,
right,
you know, all of those that will be bundled on that. And the national associations are now starting to review that, see what the impact is on communities getting input in from their membership.
Okay. In the 50s and 60s, principally, the federal government spent tens of billions of dollars in the name of national defense to develop the interstate highway system. Federal money was spent that way. Do you think that a comparable effort at that level, or...
Well, you don't even have to go back that far. Think about the Internet.
Right.
DARPA.
Right.
That was the basis on which the Internet, that we can't live without today,
right,
was. And I believe wireless is that next revolution,
right,
and that is out there waiting to happen.
So you wouldn't be adverse to the federal government taking a stronger role in funding more steps that would help speed up the deployment of wireless around the country?
Correct.
Okay.
As long as it's a balanced look and they hear the concerns from both sides, and you know, telecommunications have deep lobbying.
Right.
And deep pockets.
And
so, you know, we need to make sure there's a balanced view that's looked at.
What have you learned right now that you think would be the optimal general paradigm for cooperation between private and public sector in this area?
Well, I think that, you know, there is, and then when we can share our model, that you'll see that we firmly believe that this is a public-private partnership. There are communal needs in the societal programs, in the use of city-owned assets, and then build and provide opportunity for economic growth and development through the use of this infrastructure. Just as you built roads, you didn't build the motels on those roads.
Right.
You know, you build the infrastructure, you have it open for anybody to use, and you use the best of what the private sector has to offer along with the societal goals of government.
So do you imagine that the impact of the wide deployment of broadband wireless is going to be comparable to the impact, the social impact, the economic impact of the Interstate Highway Program?
I do.
Yeah. Okay, one last statement from you about the timetable here and what you know about when we can expect Mayor Street to make an announcement.
Well, my hope is that the mayor of any major large city is extremely busy.
Right.
That we will be able to get this announcement out in February.
Right.
And that we can move forward with getting our request for proposal for the infrastructure and for the governmental structure, or the governance, not governmental, but governance.
Right.
Of this organization to get established and move forward. So that we can start building the network by the end of summer.
Okay. I want to thank you for all your pioneering work and for talking to us, and I hope that once the announcement's made, we can talk again and get some more of the details about the model that you're going to use so people can know how much of it they want to take and use in their own communities.
Right. Well, we think it's creative and, again, is a good blend of public and private. So
all right.
We look forward to sharing it with you.
Good. Thanks very much for your time.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.